There's nothing like the Word of God to lead us and guide us in our understanding of what Christianity is supposed to mean. Without the teachings of Scriptures, one finds themselves drifting on the sea of tranquility. In the midst of madness, the words of other people, the thoughts, the ideas that has absolutely no connection at all. Thank you for letting me be your Bible teacher today as the first webcast of my spring break vacation takes place. Hi, this is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, inviting you to open up your Bibles and study with me. Well, it's traditionally that time of the year, again, when we celebrate our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And the Scriptures distinctly teach that Jesus did have a human parentage. In other words, that he was born of a woman, of the Virgin Mary. We know that. And we know that he died on Calvary. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a look at, let's look at his human parentage, because Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the young child with Mary as his mother. Okay, we find that. Also, we look at other scriptures, and it says Matthew 12, 47, someone took him. Someone told him that your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. So he had human parentage. He had human parents. Jesus was not the man of steel, like, you know, the man from Krypton. He wasn't that at all. But the interesting thing about Jesus is that even though he had human parentage, the world was created, made by him, sustained by him. When you look at John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." These are truths that we hold evident as Christians. These are things that we know. We don't blend this in with the understanding of a Islamic faith. We don't blend this in with any other kind of Shinto religion or Hindu religion. Christianity stands alone, uncompromised, as the only way to God. And we recognize this about Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I don't know whether you ever looked at Acts chapter 13, verse 23, of this man's posterity. God is brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised, a Savior. A Savior was born in the manger. A Savior died on Calvary. A Savior lives in our hearts. You know that, right? You feel that deep down within your heart. I mean, that is what generates the worship. Listen, of this man's seed hath God raised. That's right. God raised Jesus. You can see that in Romans chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh." Also, look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come," what did God do? What did God do? God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Don't let anybody fool you. No. "And thus being born of a woman, Jesus Christ submitted to the conditions of human life," Dr. Evans says, "and a human body. He became humanity's son by participating in what we called a human birth of the seed of the woman, of the seed of Abraham. Of the line and lineage of David, Jesus Christ is undeniably human and also undeniably God because of the things that he does." Now, this will get your head chopped off these days. This will get you laughed at in the office place, in the marketplace of ideas. They'll laugh at you. They'll scorn your name. They'll ask you, as some of my employers did, oh, do you believe that he's your Savior? Yes. He died to save me. First, he came as Israel's Savior. He is my Lord. He is my Prince. He is my King. And he is undeniably human. I cannot nor will I ever deny that. We must not ever, Christian, lose sight of the fact that there was something supernatural surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. When you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, on this wise. And Luke chapter 1, verse 35 says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is what we as Christians believe. The Son of God grew up, and 33 years after that was strung on a cross, beam, and killed. The earth and the heavens went through convulsions. He died on Calvary, got up out of the grave 3 days later, and is alive forevermore, and has moved inside of me. Now, you know what? Now, that makes me a person that spews out absolute truth from the absolute Word of God. That will never be compromised. I will never compromise it, never compromise him. I will never consciously, within my own power, commit the blasphemy that many so-called pimped-out preachers have done. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, on these words, I die. I give up my life. I watched a movie last night. Let me share it with you. It's called 7 Pounds. I'm beginning to like the character that starred in the movie more and more, especially when he plays dramatic roles. And Will Smith is his name. At first, when he came out, The Prince of Bel-Air, I don't watch TV, so I didn't watch that. I know that Will is no Christian. As a matter of fact, I don't know anything about his spiritual journeys. I can only imagine. As a very rich man and a powerful man, well, whatever. There's a lot of them in Hollywood. I live in Hollywood, so I know what that's all about. But the movie was very interesting because it struck a note with me. The character that Will Smith played in the movie is somewhat like myself, a lover of people so much in searching for the identity of a passionate, true person, and so that Will Smith in the role could sacrifice his life to make the lives of others better. Beautiful storyline, especially the scene between the man and a woman in love, because if you saw the movie and you saw the way he cried when he loved the woman, that's the way it was with me and Lucy. On our wedding night, it was like that. There were tears when we loved each other. Tears. Because it was such a beautiful event. To all this other stuff, I don't know what that is. And I was telling a friend of mine after I saw the movie, I said, wow, it was a great movie, especially the love scene, because that's the way it was with Lucy and I. Tears. And when I think about Jesus Christ and how he died for me and how he loved me, tears. You get it? You get it? That's one of the evident tokens that you can know that you're a believer. Tears as opposed to fears. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm not saying that your life has to be like mine. No, please. Go out there, you know, whatever. Let me get back to the text. To assail the virgin birth is to assail the virgin's life. He was of the seed of a woman, all right? Not of a man. You have to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 34. When Mary said, how shall this be? When the angel said, you're going to have a baby. She said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? See, she says, I've never had relations with a man. No other religion can say that about their religious founder, that they shroud in holiness. No. Jesus said, all that came before me and after me are thieves and robbers, out of his own mouth. Now, of course, you may say that that was a circular argument where Jesus was just trying to close the door and to make himself sole counselor of humanity. Don't blaspheme. You can if you want to. Makes me no difference. I'm not going to chop your head off. See, this is unique about Christianity. If you reject it, That's all right. There is one who sitteth in heaven that will reject you at the end of your life. Now, we as Christians know this. We as Christians believe this. We as Christians ascribe this kind of jargon, so to say. And trust me, my friends, I'm not going to talk with you as a psychologist. I'm not going to try to talk to you and try to appease you. You reject God, God rejects you. If you reject the only way for biblical salvation, God will reject you. It is as simple as that. Now, you may say, I don't like those words. I think that those are cruel things that you're telling me, Pastor John. Are you trying to tell me that there is no other way that anybody can really come to know biblical salvation outside of Jesus Christ being their Lord and Savior, their Christ, their Maker, their Creator? Well, I'm going to tell you, you got a Bible and you got a Bible search. Okay, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to look up with me a very important verse, and I'm just going to type in none other name, okay? If I can spell it right. Yeah, here it is. I want you to go there with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Why don't you go there in your Bible? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something else. Let's see. I got two computers open, and I'm going to Acts 4 and 12, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, this refers to the exclusivism of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. There are only two religious paths. And I think Jesus speaks about these two religious paths very plainly. He calls one path the broad way of work salvation leading to eternal death. That's why most other religions, you know, you give your monies, you give your time, you do your deeds and all that stuff. And the Bible says that that leads to death. That's not leading you anywhere. Sadly, the Sanhedrin in Jesus's day and its followers were on that first path. Now, let's look a little bit further into this and see how this works. When you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, that'll be the first scripture that we'll go to. And I hope that you can follow along. Matthew 7 and 13. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And there are many that go in by it. Now, he wasn't kidding. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, Jesus says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So Christianity is a difficult path, because Christianity is not designed to make you feel good. Let me put it to you that way. Christianity was never designed to make you feel good, to agree with what or how you think it ought to be. Don't let me leave it there. Let's go to John chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. I think we see the same thing. Jesus said unto them again, most assuredly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, there ain't no other door. There's no other way to get in. Billy Graham may say that there is. That's why when you hear me being critical of people like Billy Graham and other people that have lowered the bar of Christianity, you know, one of the first things that you got to think is, yes, oh, here's a good one. Okay, here's a good one. Since I'm accused of being the bad guy, I'm always the bad guy. You know what I mean? Since I'm reading from the Word of God and Billy Graham disagrees with the Word of God, do you think that God is going to allow Billy Graham, when he dies, into heaven? Do you think that he's going to allow anybody that agrees with Billy Graham and affirms Billy Graham in heaven, even if that's you. You think he's going to let you in heaven? Come on, let's get real with it. Can I get real with you? Hell no, he ain't letting you in. You're not getting in if you disagree with him. You don't like the term hell? Heck no, then. I use proper language. I get intense at the hypocritical so-called religious Christians. You know, you got your set of rules, and if it don't go by your rules, you know, there's got to be something drastically wrong with you in that area. Hold on, let me get this. You see, if God would lower his bar of judgment or his standard for me or for you, then he would cease to be God. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now look what he says. I quoted this verse earlier. All who ever came before me, that means any religious guru, leader, soothsayer. Jesus said, all the ones before him are thieves and robbers. And look what he said. But the sheep did not hear them. In other words, he says, the true children of God do not listen to false teachers. That's why when I mention people like Billy Graham and all these other religious soothsayers, and even certain conservative Christian pastors that are connected with government officials, with governmental agendas and things like that, you know, many of you that voted the party line, you're some of these party line Christians. Some of you that try to tell me that I wasn't a good Christian because I didn't vote in the last election. I would not prostitute myself to get involved in some mess like that. The one I told you folk back in 2008 that you never had a viable choice for a candidate to lead our country in godliness, you didn't believe me. Now look where we are. I don't hear from too many of you, do I? And I'm not a hater. Also, I love Barack Obama. I really do. I don't care if he is black. I have half black children, half black and half Asian. That means nothing with God. God is the creator of all human beings, even Barack Hussein, I should say insane Obama, because some of his policies are, to me, insane. Doesn't mean that I don't love him. I just don't like his policies. Now, let's bring it back home again, okay? Let's bring it back home. Bring it back home. Are his policies Christian? No. Are you a Christian? Yes. Did you vote for him first after looking at his policies? No. Okay, you didn't. Why did you vote for him? Tell me the truth. Come on, tell me the truth. Why did you vote for him? Because he was black. A half black. So your ballot was cast on a racial note. Don't be hating me. I just want you to be real with God because God knows what you did and why you did it. Now, do you think that God is going to hold you accountable? See, all right, is God going to hold me accountable for voting? No, because I didn't vote for either of them. I did not participate. I refused to participate. Now, let's go back to you. What did you do? You participated, didn't you? I'm talking to those of you that voted for President Obama. You participated. This man is killing babies. You participated. Did you affirm him for the office? Because if he's killing babies by the slight of his pen and you voted for him, hold on. What do you think the preacher is supposed to do? The preacher is supposed to bring conviction. I want you to listen to me. Listen to me. Stop it. Because, see, I know some of your hearts are beating fast. You get your jaws are tight. Now, hold it. Why you want to cuss me out? Why you want to call me Uncle Tom? Why you want to call me a hater and a traitor? Hold it. Y'all need to get right here. Y'all the one in church following the pastor, right? The pastor told you to do it, right? Why you getting mad at me? I'm God's servant. No, you ain't God's servant. Negro, you of the... No, I know you want to say nigger. You are the devil and all that. No. It ain't like that. You know what it is? You don't even want to handle this thing appropriately. All right. None other name. Jesus is the exclusive Savior. Now, you don't believe me yet, huh? Go to John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that? I heard some of you say no. Even Hades know I don't believe that. That's all right. You don't have to believe it. That's all right. Just go ahead on with your go ahead on with your bad self. You know what? When I read the book of Revelation about the scorpions being let loose on the earth to kill one third of the population,